Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read that scripture here in a moment. A couple of prayer requests that we have for you. First of all, Phil's asked us to pray for Karen. She's got the cough and congestion and all that all over again. And then Melvin asked us to pray for Jim Falk and Rob Falk. Jim found out he works for Chris at the hardware store, found out he has cancer. And Rob is the son and has heart problems. So be praying for them. Maddie was here in the first service, for those of you who didn't get a chance to see her. And so she's just being spry and getting around pretty well. So turn with me, if you would, to this passage. If you were not here last week, if you were here 2 weeks ago, you would have thought, well, I should have preached this last week. But if you were here last week, you found out why I didn't, and that was that I was out on Wednesday riding and trying to take my mind off the 21-mile-an-hour winds that I was riding against. And it dawned on me that my Mother's Day sermon was not a Mother's Day sermon. It was, in fact, on this passage we're talking about, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and thought that that did not fit very well for Mother's Day. And so I preached on Mother's Day and then just kind of moved everything back a week. And so we're going to talk about the law of the jungle versus the law of the king this morning. And it's ironic because if you are visiting with us, we're going through a thing called the Great Adventure. We're spending our whole year in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just taking different Gospels each month. And it's called the Great Adventure. And Joe and I went to the Outlet Mall last Friday and walked in, and this is the theme on Eddie Bauer's Live Your Adventure. And I thought, how appropriate. And so because I use what is called a road ID, which is an ID bracelet that for emergencies, and on the bottom of it I have Live the Adventure on it. And so that is what I believe the living and following Jesus is all about. It's an adventure, because no day is the same. And so if we are willing to follow Jesus, he's going to take us places we never even thought we'd ever go. So let's start reading with verse 38. We're going to read to verse 48 this morning, and then I'll pray. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the word perfect there is mature. And I failed to mention that we had another prayer answered. Chris Simic's folks were in a really bad accident this past week. Got rear-ended by a guy that had a stroke and probably was hit about 70 miles an hour. And they are stoved up, sore, but safe. And so we are grateful that God protected them. Any other news since yesterday other than being stoved up? Just stoved up. Okay, well, why don't we pray together? And Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these folks that we've been asked to pray for this morning, and we ask that you will be with them in the need that they have. For those who need physical healing, we pray that you will intervene and bring about that healing. We thank you for the protection that you have offered this week to your children, and so we thank you for that. We thank you for this opportunity to study, and I pray that as we do that, you will open your word up to us. Help us to see that what Jesus is offering to us is something so radically different than what we know and what we're taught. It's not an easy teaching to hear, and yet it is something that we need to learn. And so I pray that you will open our hearts up, that we'll be ready and receptive to hear what you have to say to us. Help us to see your truth and how it plays out in our life. And that as we study it, we'll not just hear, but we'll do. And we'll not just be those who hear a sermon or read a word in the Bible, but we'll be able to practice it and do what you want us to do. Thank you, Father, for Jesus' words. And I pray that as we do study today, that you'll help me to step aside and that we will see Jesus and Jesus only. In his name I pray. Amen. Perhaps you've heard the story about the man who went into the doctor's office and the doctor said, "Yes, I can confirm to you that you have rabies." Well, he immediately grabbed a pencil and a paper and started writing furiously, and the doctor thought he was writing his will down. And he said, No. You don't have to write your will. Rabies is curable." And the man says, "Well, I know that, doc. I'm just writing a list of people I want to bite." Friedrich Nietzsche made this comment. Revenge. I don't know it that quickly. Revenge is the greatest instinct of the human race. Revenge is the greatest instinct of the human race. I don't agree a lot with Nietzsche, most of what Nietzsche says, but I do agree with this. I doubt that there is anybody in this room who has not at one time or another felt the tinge or twinge for revenge or for retaliation. And just when you think that you're over it, it comes back to haunt you. As I've matured, I feel like I have become less and less vengeful and less retaliatory until yesterday. I was riding, and there have been two vehicles that have buzzed me almost repeatedly. One is a little ugly colored copper color car. It's either a Kia or a Hyundai, one of those little bugs. He likes to buzz me real close. But there's another one that almost set me off yesterday. It's a white pickup diesel with black extended mirrors. So if you know who it is, you tell him. He's getting a little too close. First of all, he likes to get real close and then rev up his engine so it's real loud. But yesterday, he came within 6 inches to a foot of me. And as he went by, I screamed at him, called him a jerk. But then I said, "Man, I wish I had a gun. I'd have shot his tires out. I don't have a gun." And so it's kind of silly for me to even think that. But then I started thinking, if I shot his tires out, I could have caused more problems than it was worth because he could have had an accident, blah, blah, blah. And then I decided, I got another scenario. Why don't I put 3 feet of wire or 3 feet of metal, three feet of metal off my bike. So that if anybody gets closer than 3 feet, which is the law in Indiana, as they go by me, they'll wonder what in the world that was. That is the revengeful spirit that is in all of us. Now you might say, "Well, that wouldn't bother me any." Well, there are times that there are things that happen to us that the first thing we want to do is retaliate. We want to get revenge. And to go against that is so totally radical that it blows people's mind. When you talk about what Jesus told us we needed to do, what he suggested and what the religious leader suggested are polar opposites. And so when Jesus was telling the people that you have heard an eye for an eye and I say this, he is suggesting something totally radical from anything they have ever heard before. I want to call it the law of the jungle versus the law of the king. And I want to spend our time this morning looking at this whole idea of what the law of the jungle is and then what the law of the king is. So let's first of all talk about the law of a jungle or a law of the jungle. And I don't know about you, but there have been times that, and I know I made this statement in person to people, when people deface your property, or people steal something, or, you know, when you're at a parking lot and someone, and instead of walking one stall and putting the cart in the stall, they let it go so that it lands on your car, you know. When someone does something to you, I have said, you know, I wish people would just leave my stuff alone. I don't bother their stuff. Why don't they leave my stuff alone? Now, that's a naive statement because you know as well as I do, human nature being what it is, we will not leave other people's stuff alone. While you may, there are others who will take advantage of everything that you have and do what they can to get even with you. They might not even know who you are. But because you have something nice, nicer than them, they are going to take advantage of it. They're going to take something that is not theirs, because it belongs to somebody else. That's the law of the jungle. In fact, let me put it this way. Retaliation is the law of the jungle, because one of the things we want to do is as soon as something happens to us, what is it? Revenge. Retaliation. Get even. Actually, it came from the code of Hammurabi. You see the two words up there, lex talionis? That is not in your notes. But the code of Hammurabi was about 2 centuries B.C., or actually 2 millennia B.C. And it was designed to stop what we would call the Hatfields and McCoy type of feuds. You know, why you do one thing, I'm going to compound it, do it worse, and then, okay, you did that to me, so I'm going to do it worse than you, and I'm going to do it worse than you. You heard that and seen that? That's what this was designed to do. It was supposed to stop, and here's how it happened. You trespass on my property, so I will beat you. Well, you beat me, so I will homicide. Homicide leads to genocide. You see, and the problem grew. Well, this lex talionis, this code of Hammurabi, came along and said, it's going to stop it. Now, in theory, it would, because it would say, when you have done something to avenge or revenge what has been done to you, it's going to stop. But what does human nature do? Human nature says, you did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. Well, you did it to me, so I'm going to do it to you better. And it continues on, and that's where the feuds come. And so retaliation, revenge, kind of just keeps on kicking in. And so we have the law of retaliation. But the law of retaliation is nothing new. It was in Jesus' day as well. Look at verse 38, if you would. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What's really interesting, let me show you the whole passage. This is what the Pharisees were teaching, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But look at the whole passage. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. I think that about covers it, don't you? But you see, that was the Exodus chapter 21. That was the teaching of the Old Testament. But the Pharisees were coming along, and they were misinterpreting that and saying, if someone does something to you, you do it right back. Jesus was coming along and saying, no, that is not the way it's supposed to be done. And what he was doing was rebutting the Pharisees' misinterpretation of that scripture. And he's forbidding retaliation in personal relationships. Now, that does not count going to war. That's not talking about taking a stand against evil. But he is talking about our personal relationships. When somebody does something wrong to you, what do you do? See? Are you going to retaliate? Are you going to seek revenge? Are you going to say, okay, you did it to me, then I will do it to you? Well, Jesus gives some examples. He says, don't resist the one who's evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, first of all, a slap on the cheek was a demeaning thing. But notice where Jesus says, if you slap on what cheek? What does that mean? It's a backhanded slap. See, most people are going to slap this way. Where's that slap at? It's my left side. This side. So when you slap somebody, you're going to slap them on the left side. When you slap somebody on the right side, what are you doing? That is the ultimate demeaning act you can do to a person, especially in biblical days, is slap somebody on the right cheek. Jesus said, if they slap you on the right cheek, turn the other one. Is that the easiest thing to do? Of course not. Because you know how we are. I get slapped, I'm going to slap you back. But he doesn't stop there. Basically, he said, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. The military, the Roman military would come along, and if they're carrying something, they might see Brad here and say, hey, carry my stuff 1 mile. So Brad was forced to carry his stuff 1 mile. Well, after the mile, Brad would say, mile's up, poof, drop it. Jesus said, don't stop at 1 mile. Carried another one. You see, Jesus' teaching was so radical to the legalism of the Pharisees that he was blowing their minds. He was literally blowing apart their teachings by saying, you're wrong. Now, watch how this works. Let's go from the law of the jungle to the law of the king. Now, this passage here that we've read, verses 38 to 43, 48, I'm sorry, are actually number 5 and number 6 of illustrations that are in Matthew chapter 5 that he gives of Jesus illustrating the contrast between the Old Testament law and what he's teaching. This is number 5 and 6. We've already done number 5. We're about to come to number 6. And what we're going to see here is that God's standard is so different from ours. And that standard is never seen more clearly than in the standard of love. Here's what I mean. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's the Old Testament. Here's the law of the king. 5 words. But I say to you. That's the law of the king. The law of the jungle. You've heard that it was said, the law of the king, but I say to you. And what does Jesus say? But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know what? Hating your enemies is never found in the Old Testament. You will never find hate your enemies in the Old Testament. Because we are not told to hate our enemies. In fact, watch this scripture as it comes up. Do the same favors for your enemy as you would a neighbor. Say what? I mean, I'm supposed to do the same favors for someone who is my enemy that I am supposed to do for my neighbor, for my friend. And Jesus is basically saying, yes, that's what you need to do. He says, you've been told to love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say, love your neighbor. Or love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. That's totally radical. I mean, when you consider what they had been told to do, and Jesus tells them, I want you to love your enemy. How many of you are willing to do that? How much am I willing to do? But that's exactly what he's told us to do. What's interesting is we see it modeled in the scripture. Job chapter 31, Twice, Job talks about it. We see it in the life of David. That we have recorded, there are two times when David had an opportunity to kill King Saul. Once was in a cave, and once was while he slept. Now, consider this. David had been chosen to be king. He'd been anointed to be king. And yet he had to put up with Saul. Saul chased him. Saul threw spears at him. Saul chased him all over the country. And here's David. David has an opportunity to take Saul, wipe him out, get rid of the running, and finally be put up as king. David wouldn't do it. Because Saul was was God's king at the moment. But there's another time in David's life where he had an opportunity to do the same thing. After Absalom, his son, chases him out of Jerusalem, David and his army are taking out of Jerusalem, and a man named Shimei comes and begins to throw stones and curse David. David's men say, hey, let's go wipe him out, and trust me, they could have wiped him out in a second. But David said, no. Let him go. Now, Shimei was upset because he was a relative of Saul. And he saw David as his enemy and taking over for Saul. And so he was going to defend Saul's honor. And David says, no, let him go. He had in the palm of his hand the ability to wipe his enemy out like that. But he didn't. And he practiced the whole principle that Jesus is talking about here. Love your enemies. You see, God's standard for treating our enemies is so different than what we're taught. How many of you have been taught to retaliate versus to love? That's a tough road to hoe. And what Jesus is telling us is not an easy thing to do. And you can imagine what it was like to be a Pharisee in that day. You've taught the people to hate, to love your neighbor and hate your enemies. And here comes this teacher along who says, you've heard this, but I tell you to love your enemies and to pray for them. It just blew their whole religious teaching out of the water. But you see, Jesus has something in mind. He is commanding us, please hear this, to love without limits. He's commanding us to love without limits, to love all people no matter what they say or do to us. Now, again, I want to repeat, this has nothing to do with war. This doesn't say that if you know, we're in a war that, oh, I'm going to let my enemy live so he can shoot somebody else. This is in personal relationships. And what Jesus is asking us to do is so radical. He literally changes things. Think this thing through with me just for a moment. Can you imagine if we stopped seeking retaliation and revenge? What do you think would happen in our community? What do you think would happen in churches if the hatchet was buried? Not in somebody's skull, but if the hatchet was buried. Can you imagine what would happen if we practiced this type of love in our homes? If we practiced this type of love in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our work situation? What a difference. But you see, that's what Jesus knew. That what he's asking us to do is so radically different that it would change everything. It would change our lives. It would change the lives of people around us. Now, why does he tell us that? Two reasons. Number one, if we do this, it makes us like him. He calls us sons of your Father who is in heaven. It makes us like him. And he goes on to illustrate it. He says, he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. God is not partial in the way he deals with people. It makes us like him. But here's the second one, and this is the one I really like. It distinguishes us from the world. Verse 48. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do that? In other words, if we do what everybody else is doing, there's no distinguishing. But if we do not seek retaliation, we pray for our enemies, we love our enemies, we are so different that it distinguishes us from everybody else. Can you imagine how different that is? And so it distinguishes us from everybody else. Now, what Jesus is advocating is not easy. Trust me, you and I both know what it's like when someone does us wrong. The first thing that gets up is the hair on the back of your head. And the attitude kicks in. And you say, you did to me, I'll do it in return. But what Jesus is saying is so different. In fact, it's a radical response. Let me tell you a story as I close. It's not a personal story. It's from one that I read as I was studying. It's one of the authors that I was using. It's a missionary friend of his wife. She'd been on the mission field for years and came home. Husband was gone. She came home and was able to get into what for her was a nice place, a townhouse. And compared to what she had lived in on the mission field, this was a beautiful place. But she was very creative. She created a beautiful spot. Her yard was immaculate. She decorated it. Her house was nice. The townhouse was nice. And she was really pleased until her neighbors moved in. Their yard soon became a desert. Toys and garbage all over the place. Broken windows, doors hanging off the hinges, graffiti on her fence. But the ultimate was when one of the kids took paint, reached up over top, and threw paint over the fence on her property. She went in, she got down on her knees and said, God, I don't like those people. You know I don't. Why did you put me here next to them? And suddenly the story goes that she began to sense God giving her a different kind of love. It was a love that she had for those people that she never thought possible. She baked a pie that day and took it next door. She made cookies and took them over. She tried to be friends. Nothing changed. They still had the desert for the yard. They still had broken windows. They still had the door that hung on the hinges. And one day they moved away. But instead of rejoicing, she wept. You know why she wept? It wasn't because those people changed. It's because her heart had been changed. And maybe that's what we need as followers of Jesus, is a new heart. So that we're not always seeking revenge for what is being done wrong to us, but instead we're saying, Father, you're the one in charge. You're the one. I'm going to love them. And I'm going to leave the judgment up to you. Because all you've asked me to do is love. I'm not going to get revenge. I'm not going to seek retaliation. If anything is to be done, it's yours. Imagine, if you would, the difference that approach would take and bring if we decided to start a revolution instead of retaliation. My challenge to you today is pick one person. If there is somebody right now who is really driving you nuts, that you would like to really retaliate with and revenge, get revenge on, why not begin praying for them? You may not change a thing with them, but your heart might change. And if your heart changes, then you begin to look at things differently. Then you get to see what Jesus is talking about when he says, but you've heard that it was said, but I say to you, it's the law of the jungle versus the law of the king. And I don't know about you, but I think the law of the king is a whole lot better to live by than the law of the jungle. Let's pray. And so, Father, we give this time to you. We give our day to you. We give these people to you. And I suspect that each one of us have somebody that we have struggled with, even to the point of considering something, doing something ill to them, or wishing something would happen to them. I pray that you will change our minds, change our hearts, that we'll, instead of seeking retaliation, instead of seeking revenge, we will put them in your hands and say, here, they're yours. Just teach me to love. And then let's help us to see the revolution that takes place. And whether it be at home or at school or at work or in our neighborhood, help us to be the change makers. Help us to be the people that are following the law of the king instead of the law of the jungle. I pray that you'll deal with us as we have struggles with retaliation and revenge, and help us to just bury it and put it in your hands. It doesn't mean that we have to continue to put ourselves in harm's way. Maybe we need to get away. But help us to realize that it is up to you. Revenge and retaliation is not our lot in life. Judgment is yours. Just simply help us to love as you have loved us. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have that one person, while we're singing this song, I want you to make a commitment to God. God, there's this one person that really, really bugs me. I'm giving that person to you. Teach me to love. Let's stand. Let's sing.